You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Gospel Study, a radio ministry brought to you by Storos Ministries of Melbourne, Florida. Your host for Gospel Study is Bible teacher and translator Paul Esposito. Stay tuned immediately following today's program for more information. And now here with today's program is Paul Esposito.
Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercise." I like that. It makes me think of that old Bowflex, right? Ever seen a Bowflex commercial? You know, any commercial. Having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Funny, that word for senses, this is the only time this word is used in the Bible. And it means it's like an organ, like your liver or your heart or your kidney. It's an organ of perception that all believers have. Those that use it, those that use it have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Those that don't, I would say the hospital term is atrophy. You know what that means? You know, when people are in a coma for a long time, their muscles shrink, and then they're unable to walk. Likewise, for people that remain on a milk diet, this particular organ as well has atrophied, the organ of perception. And the organ enables you to discern good and evil. Let me read this quote to you I found from Chuck Swindoll, written to pastors. "Dear pastors, in an alarming number of churches today, God's people are being told what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. They are being spoon-fed warm milk, not challenged to digest solid meat." Then he says, "Does that describe your church?" Hello? Anyone here can answer that? No. A watered-down teaching ministry may attract crowds for a while, but it has no eternal impact. Even the Lord Jesus, by teaching the politically incorrect truth, but truth nevertheless, lost some followers. See John 6:66. Isn't that funny? 666 again is apostasy, even in John. "I've not been able to find any place in the scriptures where God expresses the least bit of concern for enlarging the size of an audience as the goal of the church. As pastors, we must be careful not to adapt our churches to fit the lost person, but rather guide our churches to follow God's design for what he intended the church to be." Then he says, "The church is a body of people called out from among the world for the distinct and unique purpose of glorifying their Savior and Lord." As we've done this morning, we could have ended a service after communion as far as I'm concerned. We worshiped the Lord and praised him and have done what we should as a church. "The church is a body of people called out from among the world for the distinct and unique purpose of glorifying their Savior and Lord. Nowhere in the book of Acts or the epistles do we see a church called to provide a subculture for unbelievers. The lost don't need to find at church a world that's like their own outside of the church. Let me read that again. The lost don't need to find at church a world that's like their world outside of the church. He goes on to say, I've said for years, sermonettes are for Christianettes. If our churches give a little 8-minute sermon, we are not feeding the flock. Instead of teaching them, we're tantalizing them. Instead of stretching and challenging them, we are entertaining them. Boy, is he spot on with that advice. And that's how it is in so many different places. I mean, for instance, we could do the same thing here today. You know, you run long on music, you have communion, and then the pastor will give, you know, since we're running a little bit late, we'll give a 10-minute pep talk, and the word suffers. And that's not what we're going to do here today. The author of Hebrews calls this believer here a babe. Verse 13, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled, an unskilled workman who does not rightly divide the word of truth. Lost his plumb line. Unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But by the way, how many years have you been a Christian? There's quite a difference between who the Bible calls a babe and who you and I call babes. Man can be classified into 3 various stages. The natural man, who is not saved and cannot know the things of God. The spiritual man, who judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. And the carnal man, who is a Christian, but is, you could say, spiritually deformed and has not grown like he or she should have. And most of the blame for that falls right here in the pulpit on pastors who aren't teaching the flock the meat of the word of God. This is what the Lord Jesus told Peter to do. He said, feed my lambs. And he wasn't talking about food. This is what the word pastor means. The Greek word poimen means shepherd. What does a shepherd do? 2 things. He protects the flock and feeds the flock. What's the flock of God to eat? In this church, it's porterhouse steak. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, the author of Hebrews said that by now, these people who have been believers for a while, they ought to be feasting on the solid food of the profound truths of the word of God. But instead, they're on a milk diet like a babe. So let's build on this thought here for a while. I was thinking about a Christian that maintains a milk diet. And I was thinking, how can a believer know that they've moved on from milk to solid food? Logical question, right? How can a believer know they've moved on from milk to solid food? And the answer to that is by being able to discern the truth from the lie. We looked in here at Wednesday night at Mormons. There's 6 million of them, right? Well, if you research it, you'll see that's people who are unable to discern the truth from a lie. How many Jehovah's Witnesses are there in the United States? There's millions. People who are unable to discern the truth from a lie. I like this. He who is spiritual discerns all things. And here, those on solid food have their senses exercised to discern good from evil. So this is a good spiritual examination. That is to take inventory and see if we have progressed to a diet of the meat of the word. That's what we're going to do here today. Okay, so let's say you're in front of your television set. You're watching a Christian program. And you hear the following statements. Number one, this is on the back of the bulletin here. Number one, Jesus Christ never said he was God. All right, stop a minute. You've heard this already, you say? And your point is? So you've heard this already. Not the sermon, you've heard that point. goodness gracious, how many times does a violin player practice? Or an Olympic pole vaulter, or anyone who is a professional. They practiced their whole life. But I say the same things in here twice. You want to fire the pastor and get someone else. Hello? The Lord, now, not to say that's ever happened here, of course. Otherwise, I'd be gone a long time ago. Because this is what we do here. The doctrine of Christ is found in many ways. Who is Jesus Christ? What do you believe? What do you know about the faith? This is what we do here. This is the meat of the word. Who is Jesus Christ? It's my job as the pastor that when everyone here is watching TV and a PhD in Christian religion says, well, Jesus never said he was God, that everyone in here knows where to go in their Bible to refute that. That's my job. And I'll do my job, and it's my open prayer, you'll do yours. By studying the Word of God. This is your playbook. I'm going to cut way to my chase. There's two types of leagues. This is a new phrase I coined yesterday. It is the PCL. The PCL. That's the Professional Christians League. And then there's the PWL. That would be the Pee Wee League. You're either in Pee Wee or you're a professional Christian. Number one, Jesus Christ never said he was God. Number two, Jesus Christ is not the only way to get to God. Haven't you heard this on TV before?
Well, we believe there's lots of ways to get to God.
Haven't you heard that? Do you know where to go to refute that? These are some of the things. It's a checkup from the neck up to know we are on porterhouse steak of the meat of the Word of God and not in the Pee-wee League. That Jesus is the guy on the beard, the guy with the beard. Who every Christmas we have a good Christmas tree and have gifts. Number three, there is no hell. Have you heard that one on TV before? Well, there's no hell. A kind, loving God would never send anybody to hell. Well, hell was not prepared for people. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God doesn't send anyone to hell. Number four, homosexuality is an accepted lifestyle today. Anyone here last week? My point is, do you know where to go to defend against that lie? Many of you that were here last week know where to go to defend that because we looked at it. That's what we do here. Look at the truths of the Word of God, and we know how to defend the faith. Number five, Jesus Christ was not born of a virgin. Number six, there is no resurrection. Number seven, evolution. Evolution. Have you heard that one before? I've said it in here many times. Boy, that's all that I knew. I was taught that in school. It's in all the school books. Thank God it's not in your school book, Teresa. You teach your own kids, right? Homeschool. I won't ever forget it's that they taught in the school books. He started, as Adrian Rogers would call it, a hulking, snarling beast. And then years, gradually, he stands up and stands up and stands up. And in the last picture, there's a man with a briefcase and a fedora on walking out his house to go to work. And they say, that is the history of man. That's what they teach in schools. Do you know where to go to refute that? There's a list of Satan's most common objections that people have regarding the Bible, regarding the Christian faith. Did you catch that? I said, that's a list of seven of Satan's most common objections that people have. In other words, who's your daddy? People believe that the objections that they have are their own. And they're not. These are Satan's objections. Satan's objection. This is the MO and how you know when you've spot a tear in someone who hears from him. As it says in John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil. This is the MO. This is how you know it's